Morning, everybody, again. And we've got an exciting morning this morning because we're hopefully in 10 minutes or so going to do a tour of the Hope Centre. And you can all have a little look and have a little nosy. But we'll come on to that again in a moment. But today is a really interesting day and quite profound week, isn't it? You know, today we have Pentecost Sunday, when we remember in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church. This is the birthday of the church. On that day, 3,000 people became Christians. And there was a tremendous witness that went out, and the Holy Spirit moved in Jerusalem. And that's what we want to see again. We want to say, Father, we need your Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? The Holy Spirit isn't the icing on the cake. The Holy Spirit is not the cherry on top. He's essential. He's the essential ingredient that we need to be believers, to follow Jesus. He's the one who draws us close to Christ. He's the one who shows us the love of the Father. We need to be filled with the Spirit, all of us. Be filled with the Spirit, the Bible says. And this is the day of Pentecost for that filling. It's also a time, so that's the kind of time of joy, but as Caroline said, and as we know, it's also a time of real sadness today because of all the events that have been going on in our nation. With terrorism, 3 terrorist attacks in the last 3 months in Westminster, in Manchester, and now in central London again on the bridge. And a lot of people are feeling very hopeless and helpless about how we make sense of any of this and what we do and how we respond to this. And it's so important. We are in a spiritual battle today. There are forces of evil, demonic forces that are seeking to destroy, steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said that would be the case. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But then he said, but I have come so that you may have life. And the passage that we're going to read, we've read this morning, speaks into this very situation of this terror attack. I'll share it with you in a moment. But we also have a general election this week, where it's not just the next 5 years, but you know, further into the future, the result of this election is going to have tremendous impact on our nation. And it's something the Bible calls us to pray for our leaders, to pray for all in authority. So it's a real momentous week as we look towards Thursday as well. And I want to encourage everybody to vote and to pray about your vote and then to cast your vote because it's important to do so. And so this is a momentous week. And not only that, but we're focusing on the Hope Center this morning. There's so much going on, isn't there? There's a lot that's kind of filling our minds, a lot of conflicting things filling our minds. But actually, the passage that we've read together this morning speaks into all of those things quite powerfully. Do you remember how Lefebvre read, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." It's really interesting because we all know from John chapter 8 where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And we're all like really happy to hear Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. You know, it's good. But it's a bit different when he says, "You." He's speaking of us. He's speaking of his disciples, his followers. He says to us, so he's saying to you today, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are the light of the world. And the world is in a pretty dark, helpless and hopeless situation at the moment, but you are salt and you are light. And I'm really praying, and we prayed earlier before our service, that this would be a week where we could go out into this week of confusion, of hopelessness and of helplessness, and go out into our workplaces, perhaps go back to our homes, go back to our friendship groups with people that we know who don't yet know the Lord Jesus, to be light, to be a witness. That I pray many of us will get opportunities this week to say a word for Jesus, to share Jesus with people who are thinking, what is going on in our world today? How on earth do we make any sense of all of this? And we can say, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Even though there's confusion, even though there's pain, and as Caroline quoted what Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. So Jesus told us to expect trouble. This is not a plain sailing. Our world so often seeks to build comfort. And that's so many people's lives are aimed at building comfort. Jesus never promised us comfort. He did promise us eternal life and abundant life, but not necessarily comfort along the way. So we can go into those workplaces, homes, wherever we are this week, and share Jesus, share the love of Jesus. In this war that we're engaged in, our weapons are not hate, are not prejudice, but our weapons are love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You are the salt of the earth. We're the ones who bring the flavor. We're the ones who bring the flavor of the kingdom of God into workplaces, homes, schools, communities, wherever we go. Every person in every place, you bring the flavor of the kingdom. You preserve the life. You preserve what's good in that place. You preserve what God is doing in that place. And you bring his flavor. Bring the fragrance of Jesus with you wherever you go. Every person in every place. If we all do that this week, we will make a difference. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And we don't want to be hiding today, this week. In a week of decision, in a week of confusion, in a week where people are wondering what it all means and where to turn. May we not be hidden as God's people, but may we be set on a hill shining. It says in the passage, let your light so shine before others that people would see God at work in you and give glory to him. That's what we want to see. And it can happen in ordinary, practical acts of kindness. It can happen in acts of love. It can happen in just saying a word for Jesus somewhere. It can happen in tons and tons and thousands of small examples of ordinary living where you can share the love of God with someone else. That's how we defeat terror. That's how we bring hope in times of uncertainty. It is through love. Isn't it? It's love. Love is the most powerful weapon that we have. And it's wonderful. Jesus himself went to the cross. He didn't choose the path of comfort. He chose the path of the cross. And through that sacrificial death, he made the way open into heaven for all of us. And that's the message we have to proclaim. And when I read here, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. In my translation of this, the Malcolm MacDonald version, it's basically saying, you make a difference. You make a difference. I love it. Heather reminded us that it's the Volunteer Week, National Volunteer Week. And we can make a difference. There's so many people who feel insignificant and don't think that they make any difference and feel so small. But actually, you have an amazing purpose. God has called you to make a difference. God has called you to stand up and be a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And to do it in how many of us we've got here today, that's the number of ways he can do it through. You won't do it the same way as the person next to you, but you can make a difference in the people that you know and in the situations that you face. And as we look towards the building of the Hope Center, I'd love us all to catch that vision, to kind of get the bug today that what we give will make a difference. That every single gift, you know how Jesus pointed out the widow's mite in the temple and she put in like a penny or whatever it was, but Jesus said she has given all she has. That is amazing. And so whether it's large or small, if we give generously, if we all give together, we can all make a difference in the kingdom of God. And in this giving season that we've got, I mean, the figure of 170,000, it's about 16% of the total that's been raised. So, I mean, 900,000 to have already raised is phenomenal. But when we've got this last hurdle, 170,000 to go, but together, I really honestly believe together, if we all give as God calls us to give, then God is able to supply our needs through one another. God will answer our prayers through you and through me. You are the light of the world. You are the answer to the prayers that we're praying often. It isn't always, I pray a prayer and someone else, it's just going to drop from the sky. The answer to prayer doesn't always drop from the sky. The answer to prayer is you. Very often, loving, serving, giving, in all the ways that God calls us to give. And this journey that we're on, we started it a number of weeks ago, talking about these things. We spoke about getting ready. I believe we're still talking about getting ready for what God wants to do among us. For the day when the media were not reporting news of terror, but were reporting that there's been an outbreak of love in a community. There's been an outbreak of the Holy Spirit. There's been revival in a community. We would want that to be this community, wouldn't we? Where people are coming back to God. That's what we want our news outlets to be talking about. That's the day we need to get ready for. Big dreams call for big surrender. And I've been really excited over these past few weeks as we've been talking together. Particularly, I was on holiday last Sunday, but the Sunday before, we shared and there was just an open mic session about some dreams that we've got for the Hope Center. Not just for the Hope Center, but for the whole of what God wants to be doing among us here as living stones, as the church of God. I was really excited by that time. There was a real sense of like ownership together, of one heart. That this is a project that's not for someone else. This is us, all of us. You're part of it. You can make a difference. You are part of all of this that is going on. And as every person rises up to serve, give, and love, we make a difference. And we had last week the Encounter for Everyone Sunday about the passion for giving. And my desire is that as we approach this giving season, it's not out of like, oh no, we've got to give. It's actually like, I'm really looking forward. I've been looking forward to giving again, genuinely. It's something to look forward to. It's something of joy. Like the Bible says, God loves a cheerful giver. And that we would come next Sunday kind of dancing through the door, like, come on. This is kingdom. This is living for the kingdom. We are going to get to give today. For me, I want to get to heaven one day and see, we will see in heaven one day the difference that we made on earth. I don't want to get to heaven and be the kind of like whoever it might be who sees that in the light of heaven's judgment, it's revealed that I just basically served myself all the time and I built up a nice, comfortable place for me. And that's what's revealed in heaven when I get to heaven. I kind of get there by the skin of my teeth, just by God's grace. I want to get to heaven one day and discover that there's these other hundreds of people who've got to heaven as well because I made a difference. Is that what you want? To get to heaven and there's tons of other people in heaven because you served, you gave, you witnessed, you volunteered time, talent, finances. You gave God space throughout every part of your life. You didn't say, my time is my own, my money is my own, my talents are for me. You gave generously in every way, on every occasion, so that through every ounce of our being and our fiber and our humanity, you've redeemed humanity. We said, I'm here to give. I'm here to lay my life down, not make myself comfortable. That's how I want to get into heaven one day. sort of, going for it, full guns blazing, if you like, spiritually, in a love way. All out for the kingdom of God, all in. That's how I'd love to enter heaven one day. And I hope that that's how you feel too. Not just nice and comfortable and half dozing, but actually going for it. And that's what this is about. This is our Hope Center. It's our church. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. How salty are we? You know, Heather shared about food bank today. That is salt and light. But there's so many other ways we can be also salt and light in our world today. And that's what we're called to. I've been excited. We're going to go out in just a moment. I'm really excited about all the possibilities through food bank that Heather shared. With also, most of the time when I've been talking to people about Hope Center, so many people have come up to me saying that the issue that they would love to see something happen about is the elderly and loneliness. And the elderly are the fastest growing population around us today. And we want to be those who love, not just our young people, but our seniors as well. That we would pray and God wants to move in their lives just as much as anyone else. And there's so much opportunity to see God do new things. And we're talking about where new things can come from in terms of reaching out to those who are more elderly. And in youth and children's work as well, there's going to be so much potential for youth and children's ministry, both within our church family and outreach out into the community. I know it's Jordan's heart to start new outreach through the Hope Centre to the young people and the children in our community. There's over 1,000 young people living very close to this church who don't know Jesus. And that's what we want to be doing. There was loads of great feedback on as we were dreaming the other day about art. Art club, for example, or cookery lessons we had talked about earlier, or fitness sort of stuff. And this is all where God takes our gifts and our personalities. And if you've got a passion for fitness, art, cookery, or something else, you know, it happens already with Hearts and Crafts, for example. People who love to, and Knit One, Chat One, where people knit and chat, talk together, and get opportunities to talk perhaps about Jesus together. And we are salt and light in every one of those situations, bearing the love of God, sharing the love of God to people. There's so many creative ways that we can do that. And we want people to be discipled, saved, healed, made whole, because there's such brokenness in our world. That's why we're doing all of this, because of the we live in a world where people are spiritually broken, emotionally, physically, economically, socially broken. And God calls us as his people to be salt and light and to go to where the broken people are. And one of the other things I'm really excited about is we shared before, is the counseling that's going to be happening. Did you see the election broadcast the other night where the lady said on the NHS she couldn't get counseling for a year and a half? And this is what's going to be happening here. We want to be able to provide community counseling in a properly set up environment, and we'll be talking about that more later in the Hope Center. It's really important. This is important kingdom salt and light ministry, and that's what we're about. That's what we're doing. So should we go out and have a look? Yes. I need to just say as we go out that if you are not steady on your feet, then you might be advised, because there's quite a few ups and downs at the moment. There's quite a few steps, because we'll be walking into the link where the glass normally is, okay? So if you're not steady on your feet, I would recommend that perhaps you stay outside, because I don't want anybody to trip up. There are quite a few trip hazards, so let me just put that out there. Because it is obviously not finished just yet. We're not finished building. You'll see that there are steels on the ground down over outside here, because those are going in tomorrow to form the roof for the link. The plasterers are coming in tomorrow as well for the walls and so on. So there's a lot of work in progress. And I know that it's going to be very busy. So if I could just take a minute to explain, so that instead of me trying to shout to gather everybody's attention out there, this is that, this is that. You can grab me, but if I just try to explain briefly now, so you can just have a look around. So we'll go out through the south entrance through there, and you'll come up here, and we'll step over into the link, and you can see, if you look behind you, you'll see the opening that's been made and the breakthrough that's been made in the church wall with the steel above the window. And that's going to be the rest of the structure for that's going up this week, and then the glass, it will be wall to ceiling glass in that link. And then if you go into the Hope Center, you'll see there's two small rooms. One of those is the disabled WC, and one of those is the room that we'll be using for kind of counseling or other smaller meetings with two or three people. And then you go straight in, and there's the kitchen right in front of you that's just been white rocked last week. You will see that the floor is on two levels. Don't worry about that, because the screed has been done for part of it, but we have to wait for the link to be finished to do the whole of the floor. So that's fine. And then you can go straight through. You'll see that there's two rooms, one next to the kitchen on either side, the big room and the smaller kind of general purpose rooms. Just have a wander around those. You'll also see that it looks like there are doors that you step out and you fall down. Don't worry, those are all going to be built up. And the outside levels have not been done at all yet. As you go into the main room and you go to the far end, you'll see that there's a great big pile of earth. That's going to become a garden and a car park, okay? Right now, it looks like a huge pile of earth, but it will be shifted. And there'll be access through all the doors and so on and so forth. There's quite a lot that hasn't been done yet, but you'll see that it's a work in progress. The reason we're going in is because I've been in, obviously, quite a few times. Every time I go in, I get a sort of fresh fire in my belly. I kind of see in my spirit what God wants to do. And so go in, but don't just look at bricks and mortar. Think about people. Think about people encountering God. Think about children, young people, elderly. Think about the people Heather's been talking about for Food Bank. And think about people, not just for now, but for until Jesus returns, a legacy in terms of there's so many hundreds and thousands of people until Jesus returns who are going to be coming through, impacted and touched and blessed. Okay? So we might just have to, please be careful. Please, it's a building site, so watch your feet. Okay? I'll go to the back and then we will. And what I'd like us to do is to probably try to take about 15 minutes doing this. Okay? So if we could all be back in our seats at 10 to 12, please. And then we'll just finish with a short word and then a last song. Is that all right? But just go around prayerfully, and if you've got questions, let me know. Okay, are we all back? Can we take our seats? Thank you. I think that was the longest ever sermon illustration. We want to use our imaginations as we look at the building, but also as we think about what God wants to do. That's the key. What is it God wants to be doing? And I certainly find when I go there, it sort of fuels that imagination, and I think to myself, wow, what is God going to be doing through his people? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And it's through us that God brings that hope. And it's going to be through us who will give over the next 2 weeks. And my prayer is that we can give like salt and light. We can be, remember that we make a difference. And I would love for us to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to sow into this so that a real difference can be made and I can make a difference as I give. So we're coming next week. If you haven't got one of these packs, please do get one at the end. You can give online as well. There'll be a special offering next 2 weeks. And we pray that God's going to supply all that's needed so we can have the joy of just getting on and ministering to the community. And we want to pray too. I think one of the prayers that I'm praying for us is that we break fear, break the stronghold of fear. Sometimes there can be a fear, if I give, will I have enough? Will I be able to cope? But actually, if we just say, Lord, I just take authority over fear and break that fear and repent of that fear in the name of Jesus, we can move and give in faith and give in joy and give in peace. And then God is able to supply all of our needs. Amen. Why don't we just, let's just take a moment, and I'd like to give us a pause before we worship to pray. And I'll just pray for us, and let's just pause together. And the response, I think, is the right one, is to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray together as your church in this town, in this generation. Lord, we pray we want to see your kingdom come. We want to see your glory, Father God. We want Jesus lifted high. And Lord, as we sung earlier, what a beautiful name, what a powerful name, the name of Jesus. Lord, let everything go towards worshiping and glorifying Jesus. I pray, Heavenly Father, that as you just fill our hearts now with dreams of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
I pray, Father, that you would put into us that desire to serve, to be involved, to make a difference, to give, and to be the people that you want us to be. And I pray, Father, that we would do all that in faith, not in fear, in joy and in peace. And I thank you, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver, a cheerful server, those who go the second mile. Lord God, help us love one another more deeply, encounter you more deeply, know you more clearly. And I pray, Father, that this building will be a prophetic sign of what you want to do, which is to build your church so that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And Father, we pray that this place would be known for its love, for its hope. I pray your people would be known for love and hope and peace and faith and joy. I pray, Father, that we'd spread the fragrance of Jesus everywhere we go. Pray, Lord, we'd be a good news community who make a difference in workplaces, in homes, wherever we are, Father God. May this week be a week of making a kingdom difference. And I thank you, Lord, you've given every single one of us a purpose and a calling and a place in your kingdom and a significance. And in the name of Jesus, I just want to pray to break fear off of us and break fear off of our giving. And that, Father, that we would know that you are our provider, that you are God, that you are good, you are powerful, Father. And I thank you, you're able to provide. And I ask you, Father, that as we pray over this week and decide in our hearts what to give, I pray we would just know your presence upon us and we would have faith to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I pray that you will just deliver us from the evil one and keep us close to you as we give. Father, come Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost. I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. In this week of elections, Father, and this week of sorrow and lamentation and heart searching, Father God, I pray that you would make us a people who through pain and through trial celebrate Jesus as Lord and witness to that saving power of Jesus. Father God, may we be your people of hope in this generation and may we build hope for the glory of your name. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, speak to each of us, Lord, how you want us to be and how you want us to say, here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I want to make a kingdom difference with my life. And I pray you'd speak to us, Lord, in this moment. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to keep salty and not lose the flavor of the kingdom. And I pray, Father, that we would be those who love and serve and never lose that, Father God. May we be really, really good salt in this church. And I, Father, your word says you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So, Father, we pray, let this family, this church family, shine. Every single one of us, Lord, I pray there be no one who is dulled by this world, but may we shine brightly for Jesus in this generation. I pray for bright lights of love and hope all over the place through this week. And I pray for a bright light of hope, Father, in this community of Louts and on in this high road, this city set on a hill, as we are on the top of the hill on the high road. I pray that nothing about your kingdom would be hidden here. I pray, Lord, that people who come here would be would discover Jesus and find help and love and listen, be listened to and cared for and made whole in the name of Jesus. Let the broken be made whole. Let the sick be healed. Let the lost be found in the name of Jesus. Let the lonely be placed in family in the name of Jesus. Let your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. And we pray, Father God, most of all, that those who don't know you would come to know Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For your glory we pray. Amen.